Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we continue today to talk about, really, you might say, Jesus the prophet. We've been talking this week about the role of those who are baptized into Christ or called to live a life that's prophetic, to live in a way that's consistent with the teaching of Jesus, the whole counsel of God's word that's communicated in Jesus, and to follow into his footsteps. Because we are, every one of us who's baptized into Christ is called to become another Christ. Recently, I was meditating on a passage that was part of the readings at Mass, and it's a word from John, the apostle, from 1 John. And he said, Christ died that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again. Let me repeat that. He died, this is such a good passage, he died that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again. John there expresses what Paul, Peter, the other apostles expressed in many ways, many times, and even the words of Jesus, what he said he expected from those who follow him, that we live no longer for ourselves. That's the fundamental heart of a disciple. And conversion means I get that. And my mind gets renewed and I begin to think differently. It's not like I'm going to live my life the way I want to do it and pursue it the way I want it and pray that God makes sure it happens. And I get upset when it doesn't happen the way I want it to happen. Or just that the life of following Jesus is just reduced to kind of rule-keeping or behaving or a moralistic life in different ways. And it's not that. It includes that. Certainly, it includes the commandments of God and obeying God's commandments. No question about it. Jesus, as I've said many times on the program, you know, said that it's the obedience to the commandments is the love language of heaven. But the prophets, what we're talking about this week, call us back to understanding the deeper reality and the meaning of life every day. This is what John was saying to us, to say, now, this is a converted person. He's now living to please someone else. I make it my aim to please the Lord, is what St. Paul said. But because we're fallen, our hearts are weak, I'm a weak and broken person, as are you, and there's the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the battle that we're facing, and the weakness of the human heart. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, and the flesh is weak. I mean, I can raise my hand. He's talking about me. What we need regularly is being called back to it. Now, many times we need encouragement. We need consolation. We need to know the tender mercies of God, like the reading that's coming up this Friday. You know, Jesus said, my yoke, come to me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He said he wants us to be able to carry the light burden of knowing that we're in his hands, that he's opened the doors, the gates of heaven, that he's made his home in us in a temple, that he's near us and he will never abandon us, and that he's giving us an eternal kingdom. And so the weight of the world, the fear of tomorrow, all these things, he wants to take that weight off our shoulders. And that should be communicated again and again and again. The tender mercy of God, the kindness of God. But remember, St. Paul says, remember the kindness and severity of God. And honestly, it's my conviction, friends, that the severity of God is rarely talked about. It's a really important thing for strengthening the body of Christ and strengthening people in the heavy-duty reality of living in a fallen world, in this present darkness, as St. Paul called it in Ephesians. I mean, we really do have obstacles to responding. I talked yesterday about the virtues of prophetic virtues that Jesus embodied that he wants to impart to us. He had zeal for the holiness of God. He had fear of God in his soul. He had zeal for the salvation of souls, and he had genuine righteous anger that was expressed in love and expressed appropriately, always the way he expressed it. He had courage to confront the powerful. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't timid. He was uncompromising in his proclamation. He had his eye on the one thing necessary, the kingdom, coming into the kingdom, repenting of our sins, being born again by water and the Spirit, becoming a child of God. He had an eye on the eternal all the time, eternal perspective, which really helps us live out our daily lives here. Knowing our life is short, soon we'll be before the judgment seat of God, as I talked about. And of course, the coming judgment. These things are all in the catechism. They're all in the scripture. You can see it time again in the life of Jesus. It's so important to be able to see that and internalize it. Those are the virtues, but there's also vices that stand in the way of our being able to walk in it. Can you say, well, yeah, okay. He said, I get the prophets, but I'm not really called to be a serious prophet. I'm not Elijah. I'm not Jeremiah. I'm not Jesus. I'm not Paul the apostle, that kind of prophetic apostolic character. That's beside the point. You're right, you're not. Neither am I. But what I do know is that each and every one of us are baptized into Christ. We're part of his body, the church. He calls and equips, and he has within his body these realities, these gifts, and every one of us is called to imitate and to follow Jesus, to walk in his footsteps, to be living Christs, to be little Christs, as Peter Kreeft likes to say. And so to communicate that, what does that mean? It means I'm going to live like Jesus, and I'm going to talk like Jesus as much as I can. I'm going to live the way of life that Jesus calls me to live. And I'm going to make it my aim now to please him in that way. And I know that my life is no longer my own. Like Paul would say in Galatians chapter 2, he said he wants to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection and fellowship in his sufferings. And the faith he has now in Jesus, he said, it's now Galatians 2, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God. This is normal Christianity. And there's a lack of integration of this stuff in the lives of so many of the baptized, in this transformational way of seeing myself, that I have a new identity in Christ. It's that simple. Isn't it amazing, friends? Everybody's talking about identity. The battle in the earth today is about identity. And who's got the authority to determine one's identity? So much confusion around that. It's pretty simple for a disciple. I know my identity. First of all, where I come from. God made me. God thought of me. God wanted me to exist. And it's God's love that brought me into being. And there's no one like me in the whole wide world. And there's no one like you in the whole wide world. Anywhere in the cosmos, anywhere in the created order, there's no one just like you. You're a living sign of God's creative imagination and the scope of his power and the reality of his love. That's real. That's the source of my identity. And then that identity has been marred by the fall, by sin, by corruption in my own heart, by a world that keeps telling me, no, go your own way, define yourself. Don't let anybody steal your fun, your thunder. Don't all this. The world, the flesh, and the devil are constantly battling to give us an alternative identity, essentially to commit idolatry and to serve something other than God. I mean, that's what goes on there. And in the fallen heart, instead of having, as the apostles described it, this battle, we often fall into vices like the fear of men, the fear of rejection, the fear of cancellation, the fear of being left out of the inner circle, the fear of just pushback, of people not liking me. And the fear of man, friends, just as the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, the fear of man is the beginning of foolishness. It really is. It's such a trap. It's enslaving. And we live as slaves. We're not free. That's why Jesus, one of the things Jesus says here, he'll say, as I mentioned, he'll say in the reading on Friday, if I have it that correct, he's saying, you know, come to me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He's like, I don't want you to carry that burden of the fear, the slavish fear of men. You don't know who you are. I want you to know your true identity. He's so clear about that. That's a real vice that stands in the way of our willingness to live prophetically, to live differently, to live radically, to be able to let go of the world, to not be a friend of the world in the way the scripture describes it. Because friendship with the world, apostles tell us, Jesus communicated to us, really is enmity with God. To be a friend of this world is to become an enemy of God. What's he talking about? Your next door neighbor or good things that are in the world? No, I mean, God created the world and it was good, but it's fallen. And there are powerful, supernatural forces that are working day in and day out. St. Peter described it this way. He said, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He said, resist him, and he'll flee from you. St. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God to do battle, because we're up against the forces of darkness that are in the world. This is a reality. It shouldn't be a surprise to Christians at all. And so the fear of men, the lack of love for God, this is another vice that weakens us and makes us incapable of resisting and battling and overcoming. Ultimately, love is the greatest power, the love of God that's burning in our hearts. That's the greatest one, living in love. And that's why the saints were such amazing warriors and so lived and witnessed such radically different lifestyles. The love that they had just took them deeper and deeper and deeper into wanting to be more conformed to Jesus, wanting to be like him, walking in the way of life, and speaking like Jesus. I mean, read them all, every single saint. They had these prophetic virtues, some of them in just extraordinary ways, and freedom from the fear of men. Not that they didn't feel fear, but that's not what I mean. They, in spite of the fear-inducing, they kept going and pursuing and spoke words that God led them to speak in obedience to the Lord and love for him. It's a beautiful thing. So a lack of love is a vice. We don't want to pay the price. We have inordinate self-love maybe. Myself, I'm preoccupied with my own comfort. But love for God, the burning love of God, is not yet burned away, that inadequacy, that disordered love. Another vice is lack of faith. And a lot of people today don't want to communicate the scripture because they don't believe in it anymore. They don't believe in major parts of it, the teaching of Jesus. Somehow, friends, we have to be careful because in our culture that absolutely is absorbed and preoccupied by scientism, you might say, or like science is the end-all be-all. It certainly is a wonderful and amazing thing, but it's like the ultimate word on everything. And if it says, well, there is no God, or if it says, no, this can't be true, or this book is like any other myth that's out there, people believe it, they lose conviction on it. Even leaders in the church sometimes talk that way and takes the conviction of faith away, which is a really dangerous thing. And they no longer believe and trust in Scripture, so they don't preach it. Our personal sin, of course, is another reality that often weakens us. Like we feel guilty and shame. We have guilt and shame on us. We're not free from it. And so we're like, well, who am I to say anything? I'm not going to say anything. I'm fallen. Remember, it's not your words you're saying. It's God's word. And you can say, you know what? I fall short of this and I'm trying to rise to this with God's help. So don't let it stop you from speaking the word. Of course, you don't speak the word in a way that condemns other people. You just say, wow, listen to what God is saying. Listen to what the Lord is saying about how we're called to live. And there's temptations to cover up, to be silent, complacent, all these kinds of things are various kinds of vices that hold us back. And we need to come to the Lord, give them to him and say, Lord, please purify me. Help me walk in freedom so I can live out the prophetic call that you have in my life.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.